We are in the fourth week of our teaching series on the Shema. The Shema, this word which means hear, listen up. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is where our teaching text is this morning. So if you'd like to follow along in a shed Bible, or if you have your device, it's Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5. And there's this ancient practice which accompanies the recitation of this text, which involves putting up your pinky finger. And it says this: God has more strength in God's pinky finger than in all the nations of the world. So what we've been doing these past few weeks is standing up, raising our pinky finger. Yep, you got it. You've been around. So let's stand up. We're going to read the text. You can also do the fist if that feels more strength-oriented to you. We're going to read it first, the Hebrew transliteration, and then the English transliteration right here for you. So first, Hebrew. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ahad. And then here in English, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Amen. You can have a seat. This teaching series actually originated in February, when our Mars Hill staff went on our annual staff retreat. We focused on the Shema and what it means for us to love God with everything we have as a staff. And I was assigned to loving God with all of our strength. And right around that same time, I was in a yoga class. I'm gonna need a lot of grace here today, people. And our yoga instructor had us do high plank. And then she said, now I want you to do side plank. And then I'd like you to hold it. At which point, I just basically crumbled to my knees. Because I can't do that for more than like 1.2 seconds. But I found myself thinking as she was doing it, arms ripped, triceps, you know, just like, ooh. Like, she is so strong. She is so strong. I thought, what does this moment, what does this exercise have to do with loving God with all of our strength? What does this exercise have to do with loving God with all of our strength? Which is now the question I would like to pose to you. Curtis, could you come on up? Curtis is a longtime member of our Mars Hill community. He also teaches and practices yoga with me where we are. And what I would like for each of us is to do one of five things. Hear me out. Don't freak out. Okay. I'm going to have a two-minute exercise up here. And I would like you to do either the high plank pose, which Curtis is going to show. You can do low plank. You could do side plank. God bless you. You could do low plank on your forearms. You could do a modified plank where you're just straight up on your knees. And if you can't do this, it's no sweat. If you don't want to, I get it, but I need your help anyway. In these next 2 minutes where people are filling the aisles and doing some planks and you watch Curtis, I need you to think about this very question. What observations do you have? I want you to write them down, put them in your phone, put them in your journal. Then how might this apply to what it means to love God with all of our strength? Can we do that? Okay, so I'd like you to take your positions, take out your journals. Yeah, don't leave me hanging here, Mars Hill. I'm getting out my timer. Love it. So, Curtis, if you want to kind of show some of those options. I love you, Mars Hill. I love you. Okay. I'm going to start the timer. Ready? Go. 2 minutes. What observations do you have? How might this apply to what it means to love God with all of our strength? Oh, yeah, I see some pinky fingers in the air. (laughs) What might this apply to loving God with all of our strength? You've been going for 30 seconds. Tell you what, I'll shorten it. We're going to do a minute and a half. Keep going. Keep going. One more minute. Thirty more seconds. Fifteen more seconds. You can do this. All right, pause. You can release. Yes, well done. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. All right. Whether or not you were an observer or you were just doing it in an embodied way, we actually have four microphones set up right now. And I would like to know, there's no right or wrong here, what came up for you? What observations do you have about what it means to love God with all of your strength? What comes up? This might be even harder. Yeah, Nadine, you start us off.
So it's about focus.
Okay.
And we tell our minds that we can't do something, but if we stop talking and ignore around us and focus, we're stronger than we think we are.
Amen. Thank you. Susan. Could you speak into the mic just a little bit? Thanks.
I'm a little tall, sorry. I was fascinated by the interaction between the people who were doing it. And without going too long, the effort they were showing, the concentration they were showing, but more importantly, how they were rooting and encouraging one another with humor and with a sense of camaraderie.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Isabel. I know that this comes strictly from me having been yelled at by every NCO I've ever had, but the first thing that came to my mind was keep y'all's butts down.
Pardon me?
Shoulder to ankles, keep a straight body.
All right. Thanks, Isabel. Anyone else? Other observations? Yes, sir.
Vulnerability. Vulnerable is God is vulnerable.
Vulnerability, yes, for sure.
Get on the floor.
Being brave enough to get off the chair and on the floor. Yeah. Maybe a couple more. Anybody else?
I was thinking about balance. It's hard to, as you're sitting there, it's hard to keep your balance. And if you keep your balance, then it's easier.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
All right, last one. Or two. Yep, go.
Individually and as a team effort, that people were doing it together, but you could do it alone.
Yes.
I'm just going to come out and say it. It was really hard.
It was really hard.
And I wanted to quit.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right, let's put a pin in that, but we're going to come back to this as we talk about what it means to love God with all of our strength in a little while. Let's pull up Deuteronomy again. Hear, O Israel. The Shema. Now, Moses wrote these words to God's people, all right before they were about to enter the promised land. And he's this pastor giving these encouragements to the people of God, willing them and inviting them to love God with everything they have and to be faithful to God as they enter into this new land. He says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This really was like their pledge of allegiance as a nation. God, there's only one God, and this God is over everything. Do you believe that? He would say. And if you do, then I want you to show it. Talk is cheap. You can say you love God, but do you? Act it out. Show it. Love God with everything you have. That's where that next verse comes in. I remember when my children were young, like really young, like pre-verbal, months old, not like years old. And I would be snuggling with them or changing their diaper, and I would say to them, "Oh, mommy loves you so much. I love you so much." And it occurred to me, they have no idea what I'm talking about. Like, they don't know what those words are. Like, love is, they don't have words yet, right? So the only way they're going to know I love them and what love means is for me to accompany that word with action. So soft caresses, kind tones of voice, hugs and kisses. That's how they learned what love meant in real life. Love in action. And that's really what this whole flow of the Shema is love in action. It begins in your inner being, and it continues to outside of you. It begins in the inside, and it moves to your whole person, every single thing that you claim as your own. So today, as we talk about strength, which can be translated as power, let's dig into what that means. What does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to use that strength? Here's how an Old Testament scholar describes what this word strength means in context. Its meaning, is best captured by a word like resources, which include physical strength, but also economic or social strength. And it may extend to the physical things an Israelite owned, tools, livestock, a house, and the like. So I'm going to start asking you, how are you strong? What are your resources? How are you putting those into action? I want to generate a few ideas for you just to prime the pump, but I really hope that today you are able to think of a few key ways in your own life, you uniquely, like we all have different muscles. How are you strong? Let's look at physical strength. What parts of your physical body are strong and could be used to love others? Could you clean HQ once a week? Could you mow your neighbor's lawn or help someone do some painting or construction at their house? Maybe you're crafty, and you could put your fingers to use to make a shirt like this one that was made by a refugee woman in our community. Could you use your know-how, your mental strength, to help someone learn a new skill? How are you physically strong? What's your economic strength like? Could you do the $10 a month to support a mentor match at Affinity? Could you buy some school supplies or uniforms or a backpack for another family? Or take a colleague or a friend out to lunch or coffee? Could you give a small loan to a woman starting a business in a developing country through Kiva.com to provide for her family? How are you financially strong? What's your social strength like? Your network, your social capital. Could you invite your neighbors over to dinner? Could you include somebody who just moved here to hang out with you at your school lunch? Do you have a professional connections that could help someone else get a job or move up the ladder or have a seat at the decision-making table? How are you socially strong? What about physical things you own? Do you have an extra room in your house that a refugee could stay in? Could you plant a neighborhood garden on the front sunny corner of your yard? Could you pare down your possessions, do a little Cone Marie, and give away some of the nicer things so that other people can flourish as well? How are you materially strong? These resources are your strengths. These are your muscles. How are you flexing them? How are you using them? How are you putting your love into action? I think it's no wonder that when Jesus repeated the Shema in the Gospels, he added to love your neighbor as yourself as well. Take a look at Mark's version of the Shema and Jesus' repetition of it. Now, one of the scribes asked Jesus, let's go for one more slide. I'll get it up there, Gretchen. Mark 12. I'm going to read it. So now one of the scribes asked Jesus, which command is the most important of all? Listen to this. Jesus replied, this is the most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second, right there with it, is love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. It's this flow from inside to outside, from loving God to loving others. This is the Shema in action. And I think about it, like, what is the point of having all of these resources? Of having all of these resources and passions, if not to give them away? How much more meaningful they are if we're not sitting on them or hoarding them, but giving them away for everybody. Tim reminded us, and I love this part of his teaching so much, that when Moses spoke these words to the Israelite community, it wasn't like a dictator. It wasn't like a dictator who is saying, you, and you, drop and give me 30, and while you're at it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It wasn't that way. It was much more warm and invitational. Oh, that you would love the Lord your God with all of you've got. I think of it as this almost imaginative statement, full of wonder and possibility. I mean, look around this room at the people here. And if you think of the amount of divine DNA, the amount of potential, the ways that we are all strong in different ways, if we all put our resources into action just in this room and outside of this room, what might be the impact? Oh, that we would do that. I think of people like Suzanne Van Klompenberg. You may have seen her around, someone from Mars Hill. She's been an elder here. She's been involved with all sorts of things. But 10 years ago, somebody was standing on this stage talking about the need for mentors at Affinity through Burton. And she's like, oh, an hour a week? I can do that. For a year? Why not? Well, then 1 year turned to the next and turned to the next and turned to the next. And 10 years later, she just finished wrapping up with Jose. 10 years together, they've graduated. Now Jose has moved on to high school. But can you imagine the amount of change and growth and transformation that has taken place in both of them in those 10 years? It's incalculable. It really is. Now, I get that we're busy and that it can be scary or overwhelming to flex our muscles. It's vulnerable, right? Sometimes there's external hurdles. Sometimes there's internal dialogue that keep us from doing it. But what can this exercise that we did just a little bit ago, how can that encourage us in the use of flexing our muscles and using our strengths? As a staff, I took down notes. We took down some notes when we did this back in February at our retreat. And these are some of the things we came up with. Maybe this will encourage you today as you're thinking about your resources and putting them into action. It takes determination and endurance. You feel it. You need to keep your mind in it. It doesn't always look good. It's fun to watch other people love God. It helps to think about something outside of yourself. You have limits, but you can do more than you think. Over time, you get stronger. It's better in community. Use the strength that I have in this moment. There's grace needed. Rely on the strength of others. It's most painful near the finish line. The breath. When my power was gone, I ended up on my knees. How might this encourage you to love the Lord your God with all your strength for the sake of the world? I can tell you that for me, personally, one of my biggest hurdles to using my strengths is a really, really healthy and strong inner critic, which is fueled by some comparison. Does anybody else have this little situation going on? Mm-hmm. About a year and a half ago, I almost didn't step into this role as our outreach pastor because all I could think about was my predecessor and friend, Andy, who had served in this role, which if you've been around here, you know that he's like 200 plus pounds of pure muscle, tattoos, and passion. And I was like, I cannot compete with that. And then I remembered I don't have to compete with that. I don't need to be Andy. I need to be me. And one of the fundamental rules of yoga is that you stay on your own mat. You carry your own strength. You don't do others' job. So what messages do you need to overcome? What hurdles do you need to overcome to love the Lord your God with all of your strength? What might that look like for you today? How are you strong for the sake of the world? As we close our series on the Shema, let's bring it back full circle. We've talked about this God, this one and only powerful God who can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. We know that it begins in and through us, and it flows out to others. But how does it impact us and God when we do that? What does that look like? When you exercise your muscles, it's not only good for other people, it's good for you too. Here's a quote from Suzanne Van Klompenberg after her 10 years of mentoring. In my experience, you'll get so much out of it. It's about the relationship. Watching them grow and change, it's had a huge impact on my life. It's opened up my eyes to his family and what they're going through and how to navigate coming alongside someone. You want to be there and support them, but you want it to be a mutual relationship. It's like this. How many of you have read this book? Maybe you own it. It's called How Full Is Your Bucket? Anybody seen this before? The premise is that when people are mean or unkind to you, it like takes some drops out of your bucket. Everybody's got this little imaginary bucket on top of their head. However, when you're kind to somebody, when you do something nice for somebody, you put a drop in their bucket. And wonder of wonders, when you do that, not only do you put a drop in their bucket, you get one too. There's this beauty in the way that when we give to others, when we flex our muscles, when we use our whole selves for the sake of others, it fills us up too. It fills us up too. Hey, listen, it's no secret that the number of people in our nation who are religiously affiliated is going down. They're called the nuns. It's no secret that church attendance is dropping. It's no secret that that is particular to the younger generations, but not only them. What if loving God with all of our strength could be an antidote to that? I will never forget when I was a college pastor for 9 years at a university nearby, and I had just spoken at chapel about this difference between acquiring all this head knowledge about God and actually having an experience with God. And this young man came up to me afterwards in tears. He said, "Christine, I've gone to Christian schools and youth group and Awana and church and Sunday school and now a Christian college, and but I just don't feel anything. It doesn't mean anything to me." His faith was intangible. It felt insignificant and boring and unfulfilling. Maybe sometimes you can relate. So I made it my mission to better understand what were the factors that contributed to this long-term, meaningful, sustainable, transformational faith experience. And I researched theology and psychology and neuroscience, and this is part of what it boils down to. This is part of what matters. In addition to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, having an embodied faith experience that touches all of our senses, when we live it out, it impacts us and moves from our head to our heart. It moves from our head to our heart in ways that are memorable, that impact your motivation and your decision-making. The more of your senses that are involved, the more it's going to involve the whole of you for the long haul. It's not rocket science, but it takes some intentionality. It's been said, you can't think yourself into a new way of living. You need to live yourself into a new way of thinking. I wonder if that's true. What if loving God with your unique strength and resources is a path to doing just that? For a more meaningful faith experience for yourself, too. And what if that delights God also? It's an old school film called Chariots of Fire that has one of my very favorite quotes by Eric Little, a 1924 American or Olympic runner. And he says, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure. When I cook for others, I feel God's pleasure. When I network with people through work, I feel God's pleasure. When I have lunch with somebody new at school or at work, I feel God's pleasure. When I use my unique strength or resources, I feel God's pleasure." Hear, O Mars Hill, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. God, help us. Help us to overcome the fear, the hurdles, the distractions, all the things that keep us from giving of our whole self to loving you and others. Please guide the work of our hands for all of our sake and for your glory and fame. Amen.